Hi everyone, I'm Gary Nall. Always a pleasure to be able to share this hour with you. Today, and possibly on our next program, I'm going to be sharing what is very important for a lot of people. And some people may not appreciate how important it is. But this is the result of 7 years of a lot of scholarship, thousands of hours I've spent researching and writing. Richard Gale has spent researching, writing. Helen has spent, and even our research editor, Katie, has spent researching. And what we now have today to share with you is scholarly, fully documented, only using peer-reviewed literature to ask the following question. Do vaccines cause autism? Wikipedia says no. Robert F. Kennedy says yes. Who's right? I'm approaching this with no ideology, no bias. I'm merely looking at what does the science show, what can we prove, and let the facts be what they are. I will be posting this article later today on GaryNull.com, and therefore you'll have an opportunity to download it. And I believe that a lot of parents whose children have been affected by vaccines will be able to see now the truth. If you actually so-called follow the science, Wikipedia's description of Robert Kennedy Jr.'s anti-vaccine advocacy, that's what they call it, well, you're going to think, is this based upon bias? Are these people just not capable of doing quality research? Here's what they say. This is why it's important. Quote, Kennedy is the chairman of Children's Health Defense, an anti-vaccine advocacy group he joined in 2015, formerly known as the World Mercury Project. The group alleges a large proportion of American children are suffering from conditions as diverse as autism, attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, food allergies, cancer, and autoimmune diseases due to exposure to certain chemicals and radiation. Children's Health Defense has blamed and campaigned against vaccines, fluoridation of drinking water, and aluminum, wireless communications, among others. End quote. With no sense of irony, the authors write as if these things are not demonstrably toxic. Are the authors and editors at Wikipedia and of this article just incompetent researchers, biased researchers? Do they really fail to unearth even one of the thousands of peer-reviewed articles demonstrating a connection between the exposure method mentioned and the harms to our health? One would hope that it is a scientist or experienced and well-read scientific journalist who is charged with writing the entry on the highly contentious and consequential vaccine autism debate appearing in the most widely read so-called encyclopedia. As a scientist or scientist journalist, you daily read at least the abstracts of scientific studies. Many thousands of these state clearly that indeed a connection has been found between a litany of health problems and these toxins which people can scarcely avoid in the modern world. So for such people, the propagandist drivel appearing on Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Wikipedia page would read as so absurd as to be laughable. Certainly studies are open to interpretation, granted. Certainly there should be robust debate on these topics. Absolutely. There is none on Wikipedia and not in the mainstream media. To the contrary, the question is closed. Contact the FDA, contact the CDC, contact the National Institutes of Health, contact the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Disease and ask them a simple question. Is there a single study, is there a single scientific legitimate reference showing autism in vaccines? And they will say unequivocally, no, 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 and no. Is that true? Could so many hundreds and thousands of scientists, so many hundreds of thousands, nearly 900,000 physicians and pharmacists and nurses all be wrong? Could an entire nation's scientific establishment be wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong and wrong on every single statement they make about vaccines? It seems implausible. It seems incredible. It seems not even imaginable. Because we, as a nation, pride ourselves on a uniqueness of following the science. Didn't Anthony Fauci recently state? He is science. So if you're criticizing anything about COVID, you're criticizing science. And hence, if you criticize him, then you're not credible. Just disinformation. Is that what we're led to believe? Let's think about this for a moment. Because I'm concerned. I'm concerned that we've had no debate. That those who could offer a debate have been censored. I'm positing that there are thousands of scientists and physicians, researchers, and investigators who have found links to all forms of illness due to vaccines, and yet they have not been given any platform or credibility. To the contrary, they've been attacked. So it's not about being open to interpretation. There's overwhelming evidence that vaccines, all vaccines, contain ingredients which are toxic. That is not my opinion. That is coming strictly from the peer-reviewed scientific literature on toxicology. But to write as if there is no debate, as if it's been settled, as if these studies simply do not exist, as if the association between these exposures and harms to health in some ludicrous and easily refutable allegation, that this is not scientific. It appears as ignorance at best, an extreme bias at worst. It does not represent values of critical thinking, intellectual rigor, and a spirit of openness to evidence, all hallmarks of real independent science. Are these descriptions of Kennedy's stance on vaccines and autism just blind obedience to some dogma or just stupidity? Or are they something else? What anyone who reads Robert Kennedy Jr.'s Wikipedia page, who is familiar with this real science and who does not have a conflict of interest, is likely to feel next is disquiet. It is disturbing to read that these bold assertions of denial, clearly intended to maim Kennedy's reputation, and know that the vast majority of Wikipedia's viewers are not reading the science. Whatever Wikipedia says, for most people, that's the truth. They will accept it. End of story. And hence, they will have no protection, no mental buffer of skepticism about what they read there. They will instead most likely accept these spurious statements, these bold lies, as truth. Most people are looking to Wikipedia for answers because they do not read the science. Somehow, with no formal debate, Wikipedia has been lofted up as if it were the Archbishop of Science, the mouthpiece of official scientific opinion, and all its pronouncements, no matter how patently propagandistic, or accepted as mindlessly infallible. Wikipedia has dwarfed the traditional encyclopedia in popularity. The readership is 6.1 billion people monthly as visitors, and that was just in 2021. But Wikipedia is not a wisp as trustworthy or scholarly. In fact, you do not need to have a degree in the sciences or a research specialty or a verifiable understanding of the subject on which you write to participate in editing a page. Anyone can do it. As a writer or editor, you remain nameless and faceless. You're anonymous and may be difficult to trace. Indeed, Wikipedia's co-founder Larry Sanger told journalist Glenn Greenwald just recently that the CIA, the FBI, and the intelligence agencies use, quote, Wikipedia as one of many tools to wage information warfare, end quote. He said, quote, we do have evidence that as early as 2008 that CIA and FBI computers were used to edit Wikipedia. Do you think that they stopped doing that back then? End quote. Unlike the Scientific Studies RFK Jr.'s Wikipedia page, in its strange amnesia, has failed to mention, there is no process of formal expert peer review before an article is published or edits approved on Wikipedia. The open encyclopedia, as it calls itself, is a perfect tool in the hands of would-be totalitarians, corporate propagandists, and social engineers with their inexhaustible ill-gotten funds. Indeed, you need not look far. In spite of the sophisticated algorithmic maneuvers made by Google to wipe such artifacts from its search results, to find ample evidence that there is precisely what you might call a question about whether vaccines are associated with autism. This rather undeniable association can and should be openly debated live on national television on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, and the rest of the legacy media outlets. RFK Jr. might just be willing to participate, unlike some of his opponents. The so-called, quote, vaccine expert Peter Hotez claimed that science isn't up for debate. Well, that's empty rhetoric. If there is peer-reviewed science that is being covered up by health authorities, a debate is as good a form as any to expose both sides to the light of day. A debate is also an accessible form for the public to observe. Unlike jargon-laden peer-reviewed journals and elite science and medical conferences, which are the only forms. Hotez claims in which science is honed, really? As if science is some hermetically sealed snow globe in which everyone on the inside agrees with everyone else's science is frighteningly naive. This is what so-called science with people like Hotez that appeared almost constantly throughout the last 3 years of COVID as a so-called expert, probably second only to Anthony Fauci. And that's what science is becoming, an extension of corporate and government propaganda. When ordinary people's lives are now more and more subject to top-down requirements based upon what they're calling science and proper information, a closer look shows it's corporate profit-driven science. And no, it is not based upon your well-being, but their financial well-being and their power. The public has a right to observe and hear it debated in plain language. This is urgently needed. It is truly a question of life and death. But just how debatable is the assertion that vaccines cause autism? Hold it to high scrutiny. Test it completely. And that's what's taken me personally more than 7,000 hours of scholarship, late night reading, challenging all of the science. In fact, though it should be held in public, the debate is over. All of the evidence is there, but no one, and I mean no one, is brave enough to say it. And with good reason. As anyone who dares publicly say that there is a question about vaccine and autism, and their science to support it, is tarred and feathered, ridiculed and demeaned, harassed and attacked, and erased. No matter what your background or no matter what evidence you have, the game is fixed. The issue is so highly pressurized, anyone with anything to lose is rightly afraid to light the match and say the simple words, vaccines cause autism, knowing they'll watch their reputations and maybe their entire careers burst into flames. Lots of semantic acrobatics are performed that effectively communicate the causal connection without actually stating it in so many words. Really speaking, vaccines have been scientifically and legally documented to cause autism. Not just once, not just twice, many, many times. So if we can find this, if I can find it, if my researchers can find it, if Richard Gale can find it, and we're dealing in pure, unadulterated, non-political, non-biased science, that we have no political agenda, why can't they? They have far more resources. They have thousands of reporters, fact-checkers, information gatherers. Why can't they find what we found, and why can't you find what we found? And to help you, I've listed all of our scientific studies, all from peer-reviewed journals, all from the National Library of Medicine, at the end of this discussion. So I put my information out. Why don't they? You know who I am. My background. I'm a public figure. Why don't we know a single thing? Not the name, not the background, not the education, not the political leanings, not the ideology of any of these people on Wikipedia. Why do they have to hide? What are they hiding and why? I'm going to now present the evidence. First, I will provide some historical context. This is not just a report on autism. This is also an original, in-depth, investigative report that you will never see in the New York Times, the Washington Post, or on any of the other platforms. I will be looking at some of the scandalous revelations made in the last 30 years that reveal a cover-up about the vaccine-autism connection. It is not by accident. It is intentional. I will name the names. I will give you the dates. I'll give you the locations. I'll give you verbatim from secret conferences what the people at those conferences were saying. Now, ask the New York Times, when was the last time they exposed anything based upon a government agency and a corporate interest working together from inside secret meetings? They haven't, they won't, they can't. But here we are. Then we will report the scientific studies that examine the connection between autism or neurological and developmental injury and vaccines, with a focus on the heavy metals used in vaccine adjuvants. Third, we will cover the history and purpose of the vaccine court, which has paid out billions of dollars to injured victims in its 35-year lifetime, none of which is known to the American public, or the scientific community, or to the medical community. This court has compensated a number of cases which were described in court proceedings, which we have, and I will cite, to be autism. Disorders classified as autism spectrum disorder, or seizure disorders, or neurodevelopmental, or encephalopathic injuries, which present or are similar or identical to autism. So let's just stop for a moment. The FDA says there's no evidence. The CDC, there's no evidence. Both of those institutions are substantially financed by vaccines. So they're in the business of marketing and selling vaccines. The manufacturers then profit, and they share the manufacturers a royalty with the individuals in those institutions individually, and then as the agencies collectively. So how can they make a statement when another agency of government, the Justice Department, which controls the vaccine court, has actual codified the existence of autism-related. So is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 agencies of government living in denial? Are they unaware of this? Of course they're aware of it. But to say that autism can be caused by vaccines is then to have a red flag in front of every parent who would then otherwise have confidence in their word. So here we go. Given that vaccines are mandatory for most children in public schools, it makes sense that they should be scientifically proven to work, to be safe, right? However, name me the last time any public health official, starting with the Surgeon General, and then the head of the U.S. Public Health Service, or any agency, tell me the last time any of them said that we have vaccines that, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, are inherently unsafe. That's the U.S. Supreme Court, after hearings on this. And that they can harm a lot of people, and we don't know how they're going to react in every person's body. And we're still not sure why we're giving the same size and same type of vaccine to a 300-pound adult and an 8-pound baby. Interesting question. Why? And yet they claim every vaccine is safe and effective. They lie. However, in a careful analysis of thousands of articles, only from the peer-reviewed literature on toxicology and immunology, nowhere can we find evidence for these claims on vaccine safety based upon a golden standard of clinical research, long-term, double-blind, placebo-controlled studies. They do not exist. They would have you believe otherwise. They lie. What is glaringly absent is research examining the cumulative toxicological impact of the CDC's vaccine schedule over a glaringly absent research group examining the cumulative toxicological impact of the CDC's vaccine schedule over a longer period of time. Never has a concise epidemiological study been published that compares the long-term health outcomes of a group of infants and children given the recommended CDC immunization schedule and a cohort of unvaccinated children. Why? Isn't that where everything begins? Could you imagine getting on an airplane that had never been tested for safety? Could you imagine driving a car that had never been tested for safety? Could you imagine putting in a sprinkler system into your office or your home that had never been tested? Could you imagine allowing all kinds of items to be sprayed on our crops and food and treated that had never been tested? Several smaller studies indicate that neurological disorders are associated with vaccination when vaccinated children are compared with the unvaccinated. We cite 4. And since such gold standard research has never, and I repeat, never been carried out, our medical officials are relying on inconclusive research that is not science-based in order to create public health policy. American parents, meanwhile, are conditioned by our medical officials to bring their children in for regular vaccinations, confusing pure propaganda with scientific proof. What do all of our school teachers, our unions, our health officials, our county health officials, our state health officials, what do? They have abundance of highly qualified propaganda on their side. They have no science on their side. If they do, ask them to provide it. All humans possess a unique biochemistry that makes them more or less susceptible to various types of toxins, whereas one child may be left with a compromised immune system after exposure to an environmental toxin. Another child may experience learning problems or mild brain defects. Vaccine safety is not proven by stating the obvious, that not every child who receives the standard CDC vaccine schedule has autism. As we witness, a rapidly increasing number of vaccinated children being afflicted by conditions such as autism, food allergies, encephalitis, type 1 diabetes, ADHD, and Crohn's disease, and autoimmune conditions, inner ear infections. This is epidemic today. It is critical that we investigate further the role played by environmental toxins to better understand their pathology. And when we look into the independent science on the safety of vaccines, it's readily apparent that many of the ingredients found in vaccines are toxic in any amount, even in small amounts, parts per billion, may contribute to a range of illnesses, including autism. Let's start with a history and context. I'm now going to share with you whistleblowers, corrupt health officials, and cover-ups. Research indicates that conflicts of interest abound in the vaccine industry, making it difficult to have faith in our health authorities. Worse still, evidence points to pervasive corruption among high-profile individuals and institutions in the medical-industrial complex. Here, I will look at some of the most alarming examples. Let's start with something that the mainstream media knows nothing about, because they refuse to cover the story. It's called Simpson Wood. In 2003, while researching the controversial link between vaccines and autism, which despite repeated dismissal by all public health authorities, continued to persist among parents and in the no doctors as autism rates skyrocketed, public health advocate Robert Kennedy Jr. stumbled upon a massive cover-up that had taken place in June of 2000 at Norcross, Georgia, the Simpson Wood Conference. And this, the American public and the American media chose not to look at. It was officially called the Scientific Review of Vaccine Safety Data Link Information. Included top scientists and health officials from the FDA, CDC, the British Health Ministry, the pharmaceutical industry executives from all vaccine manufacturers, the World Health Organization, all gathered to discuss the results of a major study evaluating the negative effects of thimerosal, a commonly used mercury-based preservative used since the mid-1930s in vaccines. The CDC epidemiologist, Dr. Tom Verstraten, presented his findings to the assembled luminaries, concluding, quote, his words, "The screening analysis suggests a possible association between certain neurological developmental disorders, namely tics, attention deficit disorder, speech and language disorders, and exposure to mercury from thimerosal containing vaccines before the age of 6 months," end quote. The transcript, which no one was supposed to make a transcript, no one was supposed to film anything, was unearthed by Robert Kennedy Jr. through a Freedom of Information Act request, and it bears witness to the panic that set in among the audience after Dr. Verstraten dropped that bomb. They speak over one another with questions. They try to minimize the results. The World Health Organization director, John Clements, even expressed doubt that this study should have been conducted at all, since, quote, his words, World Health Organization director, quote, "the outcome of it could have, to some extent, been predicted. I know how to handle it from here is extremely problematic," end quote. So we have to ask. So, director of the World Health Organization, substantially funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Gavi, which also was funded and founded by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and the Chinese government, how did you know? You said it could have been predicted. Based on what? A guess, a hunch, or evidence that already existed but had been denied and covered up? You tell us. And while the doctors agree that the matter merits further investigation and even admit it raises, quote, some perhaps disquieting possibilities, end quote, they agree to, quote, embargo, end quote, it. the information until a meeting is scheduled for later that month, and then never release it at all. That's right, they covered it up. Vera Stratton's study wasn't even published until 2003, after the conclusion had been rewritten from this. Here's what it originally said. You've never heard this before. No one in this audience, no one in the media, no one in the scientific community, no except those scientists, no medical doctor, no pharmacist, certainly none of the people over the journal Pediatrics were hand in glove with the CDC and the FDA. So listen to what I'm going to tell you. This is the original conclusion. Quote, this analysis suggests that high exposure to ethanol mercury from thimerosal-containing vaccines in the first month of life increases the risk of subsequent development of neurologic developmental impairment, but not of the neurologic degeneration and renal impairment. Further confirmation studies are needed, end quote. Okay, so right there they say it. They say that that analysis shows neurologic development impairment. That's autism. Here's what they changed it to. Quote, no consistent significant associations were found between TCVs and neurodevelopment outcomes. Conflicting results were found at different HMOs for certain outcomes. For resolving the conflicting findings, studies with uniform neurodevelopmental assessments of children with a range of cumulative thimerosal exposures are needed, end quote. They totally changed it. How corrupt is that? And why is it that those people are not held accountable? Is there not statute? Is there not law within the federal guidelines that if you knowingly change an accurate statement to knowingly, with malice aforethought, change it to an inaccurate statement, that is a crime? This was Vera Stratton's fourth attempt to conduct the study to produce the desired data after the first three had stubbornly showed the correlation he was trying to disprove. After firing off a disparaging email to a colleague, quote, I do not wish to be the advocate of the anti-vaccine lobby and sound like being convinced that thimerosal is or was harmful, but at least I feel we should use sound scientific argumentation and not let our standards be dictated by our desire to disprove an unpleasant theory, end quote. Okay, Dr. Vera Stratton, please come on this radio program, just you and I, and you show me what you can prove scientifically, not your opinion. I don't give a damn about your opinion, but I do care about independent science. Disprove the unpleasant theory that autism and vaccines are associated or not associated. How would we have known this? That's what happens when you do your investigation correctly. Vera Stratton was able to tweet the results by adding patient data from an HMOs with younger patients, different diagnosis codes, and dubious record keeping thanks to a recent state takeover. It was enough to obfuscate the damning results of the first three phases and render the original study meaningless and therefore publication worthy. Problem solved? If only it weren't for that meddling Kennedy, end quote. It's worth noting that Dr. Johnson expresses reservations at having his newborn grandson vaccinated with a thimerosal-containing vaccine, but has no such concern for the rest of the country whose children were injected with that toxic mercury for a full 2 years after he learned of the connection at that conference between thimerosal and neurodevelopmental disorders. From what I understand, he left the conference to call his daughter or daughter-in-law and say, don't use that vaccine. Worst, while the drug companies that manufactured the thimerosal-containing vaccines offered to remove it, we have proof of this, they said, okay, we'll remove the offending substance in September 1999. Guess what happened? The CDC declined their offer. Instead, the CDC and its top management all agreed, waiting until all thimerosal-containing vaccine lots had expired in 2002 to officially end its use. Lest they lose a few dollars by having to throw away an already purchased dose. Let's take a look at one person as an example. Gerberding, the vaccine insider. And this, her story is really problematic of all government agencies and the technocrats and business leaders who are brought in from corporate America to oversee the very industries that they are part of and to always benefit their industry, to which they're going to go back to, and which she did. There's a revolving door between the vaccine manufacturers and those in government who are responsible for overseeing these manufacturers. A prime example is former CDC Director Dr. Julie Gerberding, who left the agency in 2010 to take a position with pharmaceutical giant Merck as the president of the company's vaccine division and earned millions of dollars. Gerberding stated in an interview that she is, quote, very bullish on vaccines, end quote. Her admission is especially disconcerting given her long history of siding constantly with vaccine makers. While in her position at the CDC, she organized, the massively exaggerated threat of the H1N1 swine flu and was pushing largely unproven vaccines on the American public with dangerous side effects. I know that firsthand because I received information on that New York State was passing a law the next day on a Friday that all public health officials, meaning doctors, orderlies, nurses, pharmacists, anyone working in a medical facility, had to have not one, not two, not three, but four H1N1 vaccines. Each one contained 24 micrograms of mercury, the very mercury that we're talking about being toxic. But we're talking about 100 micrograms. That's a huge, huge, unimaginable body burden, but no one seemed to care. So many of you will remember, I put the word out on that show. Please join me the next day. We're going to go to Albany and protest. And just all that day and overnight, a group of us, four of us, got together and we rented buses. I had Deli and Sherpa stay up all night at the health food store making lunches. I didn't know how many people would come, so I made enough for about 1,200 people. So the people would have something to eat if they went clear up to Albany, because we were going to be at the Capitol and we didn't know for how long or if anyone would give us any attention. Elaine Ryan spent the whole night making making artwork, beautiful artwork. She's a great artist. And then I asked a group of people, I was calling a member 2 and 3 in the morning, say, do you have a suit? Yeah. Okay, I need you in Albany tomorrow. We have a special bus and we're going to take 30 of you up. The women and men, you have to dress in business clothes and, you know, look like you belong in the Capitol, maybe as a legislator or legislative aide. Okay. I gave them a packet we made overnight that had 112 scientific studies from the peer-reviewed literature showing the dangers of the H1N1 vaccine and mercury and what it would do to these doctors and all the hospital workers. We got up to Albany. We called the press and several networks showed up. We had, and our people took their studies, walked right in the building. No one was stopped. They went right to every legislator in the government and gave them the report saying there's a demonstration going on outside. There were no public hearings on this. There was no evidence given to challenge this. This is railroaded through by the pharmaceutical industry and the state medical people. And then once we had the entire front of the Capitol in Albany, we have photographs and videos of this. You can see these videos for yourself. I called Chicago and Dr. Eisenstein came in Dr. Michael Schacher came up, and then we demonstrated, and then they invited me in to have a conversation. They were really upset. And I just laid it out. I said, show me the studies that you have done, you have, or that you're aware of, that show that what you're going to advocate for every doctor, nurse in the state, and orderly, anyone working in a hospital, must have four of them. Show me the safety. They had none. Show me the efficacy. They had none. I said, well, I've given you showing there's no efficacy and safety. There's no pandemic. There's no epidemic of H1N1. We were right. They were wrong. And so then they had to hold hearings. And at the hearings, I was the first person there at 8 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and how it works in a hearing, you sign up, and the order you sign up is the order you have 5 minutes to make a talk. Only people who are pro-vaccine were allowed to talk. Only those supporting this were allowed to talk to the medical panel. I was the last person called. And you wouldn't know this if it weren't for someone, I don't know who, was over in a corner filming this. I didn't know it. And that, you should watch that film. In fact, I'm going to ask our staff in New York, please get that vaccine challenge that I did under oath. I want people to watch it, 22 minutes long. And I challenged them. I had stacks of studies. And they wouldn't challenge, they had no truth on their side. And I got to talk at 8 o'clock at night, 12 hours, when no one was there, the media wasn't there. That shows you how corrupt the system is, especially in New York. Kind of redundant to say corruption in New York, isn't it? But in any case, we won. And therefore, they did not pass the law. How many medical doctors, how many nurses, how many orderly, how many pharmacists, how many people who would have gotten 100 micrograms of mercury showed up to our lecture, our demonstration? None. Why not? Well, that's the way the world works, isn't it? An empowered minority is almost always doing the work of the disempowered or indifferent majority. But that's a fact of history. But that was Julie Gerberding. Here's what she said when asked by Dr. Sanjay Gupta while she was serving as CDC director. Quote, this is 2008 interview on CNN. Quote, well, you know, I don't have all the facts because I still haven't been able to review the case files myself. But my understanding is that the child has a, what we think is a rare metabolic or mitochondrial disorder. And the children that have this disease, anything that stresses them creates a situation where their cells just can't make enough energy to keep their brains functioning normally. Now, we all know that vaccines can occasionally cause fevers in kids. So if a child was immunized, got a fever, had other complications from the vaccines, if you were predisposed with a mitochondrial disorder, it can certainly set off some damage. Some of the symptoms can be symptoms that have characteristics of autism. End quote. Well, hold on. You're saying that the only children that would get sick from any vaccine would be children with some mitochondrial disorder? Well, can you show me the science, scientific studies? I look for it. And I've studied autism very carefully. And the best you can do is you can rebalance the gut with probiotics, because that's where they're most vulnerable. But the probiotics in the gut also stimulate the child's immune system. I haven't seen the studies on the brain, but now you're acknowledging in an interview with a big supporter that, yeah, that can cause autism. Then why is it that you didn't make that statement in an official capacity and then do research on it? But she's not alone. There's Dr. Thorson. This is a case of complete corruption. This is a prime example of the corruption within the CDC around vaccine safety. It is the case of Dr. Poul, that's P-O-U-L, Thorson, T-H-O-R-S-E-N. He's a Danish researcher who co-authored 36 CDC studies, two of which are widely cited studies claiming to disprove an autism vaccine link. End of story. If he says it, he did it, he was part of the CDC, he published it, clearly that's the truth. No. Do your homework. From 2004 to 2010, Thorson allegedly laundered more than $1 million in grant money allocated for research and used the funds to make personal purchases, including a home in Atlanta. Thorson is currently in Denmark awaiting extradition to the United States. In a recent editorial, Robert Kennedy called into question the slow nature of U.S. authorities in apprehending Thorson, stating, quote, "The fact that he is roaming free and is easy to find, despite the U.S. federal indictment, does not imply Thorson's innocence. Rather, it suggests a lack of enthusiasm by Health and Human Services and CDC to press for his capture and extradition. The agency undoubtedly fears that a public trial would expose the pervasive corruption throughout the CDC's vaccine division and the frailty of the science supporting CDC's claim that thimerosal's safety," end quote. Two autism vaccine studies undertaken by Thorson and his team have been decried by critics as scientific fraud, junk science. According to leaked CDC documents, the data from one of the studies, which monitored rates of autism in Denmark after a countrywide phase out of thimerosal, were heavily manipulated to make it appear that autism rates increased after its removal of vaccines, when in fact, rates decreased. The researchers' methodology was so unscientific that, gee whiz, we found out that The Lancet, the Journal of the American Medical Association, rejected publishing the study. And it wasn't until the CDC's director, Gerberding, wrote a strongly worded letter to staff at the Journal of Pediatrics, and they published it. Wow. So, the other autism vaccine study that is used by everyone to confirm that there's no association was co-authored by Thorson, which seemingly debunked an autism link to the MMR vaccine and was published in 2002. In his aforementioned editorial, Robert Kennedy Jr. wrote about the study's questionable methodology, quote, "That study employed CDC's trademark ruse of including many children who were too young to receive autism diagnosis, which at that point usually occurred at around 4 of age. CDC epidemiologists have consistently used this ploy in their phony autism studies to dampen the autism signal and exonerate the vaccine. The 2002 Madsen et al. MMR study also included a substantial number of unvaccinated children and employed a suit of other statistical gimmicks to mask the association with the MMR vaccine," end quote. Well, think of that for a moment. How can you have a legitimate study if you're using, let's say, the MMR vaccine, and then you're following up and saying, do they have autism or neurological disorders or not, but you also include people who've never been vaccinated? That's a fraudulent study. You don't do that accidentally. That's done by intent, malice aforethought. They intended to game a study. That's a federal crime. You go to prison for doing that. Oh, unless the pharmaceutical industry makes phone calls to the White House, who makes phone calls to the Justice Department, and suddenly everything's fine. No problem. But it doesn't end there. Then we have probably the best of all, the Thompson revelations. Thanks to the widely seen film Vaxxed, very good film, by the way, the most well-known and perhaps controversial whistleblower remains Dr. William Thompson. He's still at the CDC. In 2014, he was a senior scientist at the CDC, and he went public briefly and in a very limited way with claims that he and his colleagues willfully omitted data from a study that supported a link between vaccines and autism. After discovering a connection between the MMR vaccine and an increased risk of autism among African-American males under 36 months of age, Thompson claims that he and his fellow authors chose to exclude that data and effectively perpetrated scientific fraud by publishing results which they all knew and engaged in a conspiracy which contradicted their actual scientific conclusions. Commenting on how he and his colleagues misrepresented their findings, Thompson, quote, in his words, "We decided to exclude reporting any race effects. The co-authors scheduled a meeting to destroy documents related to the study. The remaining four co-authors all met and brought a big garbage can into the meeting room and reviewed and went through all of the hard copy documents that we had thought we should discard and put them in a huge garbage can. However, because I assumed it was illegal and would violate the Freedom of Information Act and the Department of Justice request, I kept hard copies of all documents in my office, and I retained all associated computer files. I believe we intentionally withheld controversial findings from the final draft of the FARP Pediatrics paper," end quote. There you have it, in his own words. I have the actual audio of him saying that. So, top person at the CDC, and then they give him a bonus. And so now he keeps quiet, and they don't allow him to testify. Thompson leaked thousands of pages of internal documents to Representative Bill Posey, suggesting that the agency lied about links between thimerosal and neurodevelopmental disorders and links to the MMR vaccine and autism, particularly in black males, 36 months and younger. The latter link discovered in November of 2000 was memory hold, according to a conversation between Thompson and researcher Professor Brian Hooker, with evidential data destroyed the following year. Facts Thompson confirmed via an affidavit to Posey. So it's not that we don't have the proof, affidavits, him stating it, documents, thousands. We have everything. Now here's a question for you. When was the last time that any member of Congress in the House or the Senate, and in the investigative report of the Washington Post, New York Times, covered that story? That's a big story, because it was a 325% increase in African-American young boys 36 months and younger. That represents over 100,000 new cases of autism. So I began to see if we couldn't hold a demonstration in Washington, first by contacting the Black Caucus. That would be an obvious place, right? They could easily, they had the power to put pressure on Senator Chuck Schumer, or at that time House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, to call for hearings. No one wanted to do it. In fact, of all the different places we reached out within the African-American community, the only people who responded was the Nation of Islam. Yeah. So in the end, we did not have the mainstream media or even the African-American media cover this story, even though it was clearly racist. It was clearly systemic racism. It was intentional. Today, modern times, respected institutions. Well, hold on a second. This creates a problem. If these are the same institutions, they are, they gave us COVID and all of its lies, and they are, and they gave us Tuskegee experiment, and they did, and then they gave us almost 40 years of testing biological weapons on black prisoners, army, vets, which they did and covered it all up until I helped uncover that in October issue of General Media in 1989 and broadcast at the same time, showing they had done over 1,000 experiments on humans without their knowledge or permission, with diphtheria, with all forms of these agents, then surely someone, church groups, would come together. Social leaders would come together. Someone would say, if you're targeting African-American children with intent, and you know that you're going to hurt them, you know you're going to cause their whole life to be turned upside down with autism, surely this should be a public issue. Not a single voice. No one. And hence Congress chose not to do it. You think the pharmaceutical industry and its lobbyists had anything to do with reminding legislators, both conservative and liberal, that, hey, remember who pays for your candidacy. In 2015, Representative Bill Posey entered a statement by Thompson about the cover-up into the congressional record. There it died. I'm only partly through. I want to thank you all for listening, and if you find this of interest, if you find it important, share it with other people. Everything I've said is fully documented. In fact, it's over-documented. On our next program, I will continue, because this is one of the most important public health issues in American history. Thank you for listening. Have a nice day. We're going to continue to top the hour. If you have questions, if you have challenges, if you disagree or agree, call in and share your points of view. Our number is 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. And I just want to thank all the efforts made by our team on this. And we put a lot of hours into this. I mean, this is because you've got to get it right, because you know who you're going after. And we're going after a lot of these people. And we'll continue to. So I'm just going to wait around here a moment and see if we have any calls coming in. It's your turn. By the way, every day I mention that people like to call in and give their opinion, they can. Trouble is, with rare exception, people don't. If I said, anyone have any health questions, call in, I get 10,000 calls. But on these other issues, these are tough issues. All right? But they're important issues nonetheless. All right, so, and by the way, the title of the article is Do Vaccines Cause Autism? Wikipedia says no. RFK Jr. says yes. Who is correct? I want to thank Richard Gale. I want to thank Helen Beninsky. I want to thank research editor Katie, because we have spent thousands of hours and years, Richard Gale and I have, on this topic. So I'm open for debate for anyone who would like to share. Otherwise, just a quick announcement. Right now, our health retreat is full. And I'm very happy for the people coming. And I realize other people may not feel it's the right time for them to give themselves a break and rejuvenate and get back into life or even repurpose their life, as a lot of people are doing. In fact, I dealt with that today in my classroom on the air. I did a long topic talk on stop slow walking your life. There's a reason why we procrastinate. There's a reason why we don't like to finish things. There's a reason why we keep ourselves intentionally disorganized. That's because of insecurity. Something happened earlier in our lives where we didn't do something as expected and someone wasn't happy with us. We took that personally at the emotional level. That creates low self-esteem and fear. What if I finish something and it's not right, then I'm going to get criticized. Rather me postpone it, delay it, make excuses, create distractions. That way I won't have to finish anything, therefore I won't be held accountable at the emotional level. It's sad, but this happens. Anyhow, it's a very positive discussion. You can go to Gary Nall Gary Nall YouTube and watch it if you choose. And also, if you want to be on a waiting list, now there are always people at the last moment for legitimate reasons just can't come, and then you can get in to what's going to be one of the most remarkable health retreats we've ever done. This is not an anti-aging retreat. This is a health retreat. We've got outstanding speakers, brand new speakers on energy, brand new on energy healing, and brand new speaker Peter Resnick will be there. Dr. Peter Resnick, dealing with depression and anxiety and loneliness from a very spiritual point of view. He's a wonderful person to listen to, and he's helped a lot of people. Great exercising with Cesaya, power walking, the animals, the environment, quiet time. In fact, if the sun's up, and it will be, we just yesterday sanitized the pink marble sun bath. Just put on, bathing suit, you get in there, and we put aromatic oils in, and you take yourself a sun bubble bath in the middle of the daytime. It's fun. It's a hoot. And we have all kinds of wonderful foods and juices. You can give Luann a call. Again, right now we're full. I'm sorry. I tell people don't wait till the last moment, but they do. 903-881-7008. 903-881-7008. And if we don't have calls, I'll say goodbye. And if we do, I'll take them. Oh, by the way, we have a brand new program starting right now. Today, it's premiering. It's going to be a wonderful program. We're really excited to have the Oracle of Harlem, Jeremiah, starting a brand new program in just a few moments. So we're going to go to him right after this. You want to stay tuned for him. He is really extraordinary. For the rest of you, have a nice weekend. I'll be back to conclude this. Hopefully I can conclude it on Monday. It's a major report. Remember, it's the most definitive, scientifically based report ever done on autism and vaccines. Have a nice day, everyone.